Blog Talk Radio.
I remember a teacher that I had. Now, I went through the seventh grade. I went to the seventh grade. I left home when I was 10 years old because I was hungry. I work in the summer and I go to school in the winter. But I had this one teacher. He was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana. To me, this was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time, anyhow. He had such wisdom. And we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little old teacher, Mr. Laswell was his name. Mr. Laswell, he says, he says, I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity, allegiance, my love and my devotion, to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom, wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United. That means that we have all come together. States. Individual communities that have united into 48 great states. 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose. And that's love for country. And to the Republic. Republic. A state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people. And it's from the people to the leaders. Not from the leaders to the people. For which it stands. One nation. One nation. Meaning, so blessed by God. Indivisible. Incapable of being divided. With liberty, which is freedom. The right of power to live one's own life. Without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation. And justice. The principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all. For all. Which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer? And that would be eliminated from schools, too.
Good morning and welcome to Contending for Truth Radio. This is Scott Osborne. We got Dan Wilson down in Florida. I'm in Mesquite, Texas. And we're going to have a great show for you today, folks. We're going to have talk about a little bit of history. We're going to talk a little bit about politics. We're going to talk about a little bit of faith. We're going to talk about a little bit about people. We're going to talk to some candidates, some activities coming up. Got some great fun things coming up here really quick. I'm here in Texas, and I'm going to tell you, Dan, I knew I was going to love Texas politics. I knew that because I've got good friends down here that I've known for a few years now since Herman Cain, especially Michael Smith with Conservative Nation Media and Conservative Nation Radio. I knew I was going to have fun. I wasn't really prepared to really realize exactly how much fun I was going to have. And, you know, Texas is a very different place to live than California. Politics down here are very local. I'm in a big city. I came from a town of less than 2,000 people, a little small town in the hills. We had a little market and a gas station and a park, you know, and I came down here, and I'm in Mesquite. I'm 8 miles, 9 miles from downtown Dallas. I'm in a big city. However, politics is still very, very local. I'm in one of the largest states in the country. I'm in a state larger than California was, but it's still very local. I've got friends on Facebook now that are state representatives in the Capitol. And I know them, and they know me. I never had that in California. But in California, I was searching hard to find a candidate, Dan, that I could support in California and do a little bit of local help while I was supporting candidates in Kentucky and Tennessee and in Florida and different places. And in Texas, I had a hard time finding candidates. Of course, found Rodney Conover, who was running for Congress for a while out there in California. And, of course, Dave Souza, running for supervisor up in El Dorado County. Love Dave. But I struggled to find candidates. I got a list of candidates, Dan, that I'm supporting here in Texas that I can't even keep track of. Of course, Sid Miller and Connie Burton are getting most of my time. Sid Miller getting the bulk of that. But it's just amazing the excitement that goes on down here. They get so excited about their politics, they don't just have a primary and a general election. They have a runoff in the middle of everything. And there's a bunch of candidates, both my good candidates, Sid Miller and Connie Burton, are both in that runoff. But it's a very local feel. And I've developed a lot of friends and getting ready to have some really good fun. The reason I say that is this next Sunday, not today, but tomorrow, Michael Smith and I on Conservative Nation Media are going to host, I'm going to help him produce, a very special blog talk radio show. And they do something down here in Texas called a candidate fair. In fact, when we had Sid Miller on here a few weeks back, he was at a candidate fair over in Tarrant County where all the candidates all get together and you get a chance to meet them. Well, let me tell you, we're going to do a blog talk radio candidate fair. And we are going to have some incredible candidates on. We've got Dan Patrick, who's running for lieutenant governor. He's going to be on. We've got Wayne Christian. We got Sid Miller. We got Connie Burton. We got Michael Quinn Sullivan with Empower Texas, a great group down here, a very productive group, a man I've learned to respect very, very highly. Bob Hall, John Radcliffe, Steve Toth, Ralph Gonzalez, who I'll mention here in a minute. He's got something to do with what's going on next weekend. Eric Maroom, I think I'm pronouncing that right. We've got all those candidates on in a two-hour block. And we're going to talk a little bit about immigration. We're going to talk a little bit about education. We're going to give those candidates an opportunity to outside the 30-second soundbite, talk to the people. And we're going to have a really good time. And that's tomorrow, starting at 3 o'clock Texas time on Conservative Nation Media. You can go to conservativenationmedia.com and find where the information of that show. We will be posting it in the Contending for Truth Radio Facebook page as well for you to find that. So we'd encourage you to listen in and listen as Michael and I tag team these guys and have a great time. And it's going to be really, really nice because most of these candidates know who Scott Osborne is. And you know, why is that important? Because that's what makes the difference between what Red Skelton said. From the government to the people or from the people to the government. From our leaders to the people or from the people to the leaders. You see, when these guys in Texas get into the state house, when they get into their elected positions, they know their constituents. They know them. They're not separated from their constituents. And that makes a big difference. You know, Dan, one of the most heartening things that happened to me was my first event here in politics in Texas when I went to Connie Burton's fundraiser. I never met Connie before. I walked up there with Michael Smith, and she says, "Oh, well, hi, Scott. It's good to finally meet you." And walked up to Giovanni Caprioloni, our state representative here, one of our state senators here in Texas. And, well, hi, Scott. Finally glad. Nice to finally get to meet you. And that's an awesome feeling because we didn't have that in Texas. You know, Devin Nunes up there, down there in California, went to high school. Well, my sister went to high school with him. Been in his home when he was a little kid. And I tried for 3 years to try and get enough attention out of him to say, you know, I'll help support you. I can give you some grassroots help. I'll help you build a team of people across the United States that are willing to do a little bit of work for you on social media and the grassroots. Anything you need. Couldn't even get his attention. You know, they're not even California. Californians are just absolutely rude, and it's a different mentality down here. And the next thing that's going to happen is next week on Saturday Symposium, Dan and I are going to have a great guest on. We had him on a couple of weeks back, Bob Struble, a historian, a writer, a school teacher, and a fascinating man. We had a great conversation. We didn't get enough time in with him, really, after 2 hours, so we scheduled him again to have another time. Dan and Bob are going to carry most of that conversation because I am going to be at the I Do Not Consent rally in Corsica, Texas, Corsicana, Texas. Michael Smith's going to come by and get me next Friday. We're going to go down there and spend the night, and it's going to be solid 24-hour politicking, Dan, and I'm going to be absolutely in heaven. Michael Smith has got me a pair of cowboy boots, so I'm going to be slipping those on and walking around looking almost like a full Texan. Here soon, when the money starts flowing a little bit better, we're going to have to go get a Stetson, and then the transition will be made, and you'll never get me back to California. But that I Do Not Consent rally is going to go on all day down in Corsicana, Texas. You can search on Facebook, search in your little search bar, I Do Not Consent, and that rally will come up, the event will come up to that. If you're here in Texas, I would encourage you to get on the bandwagon and go. It's going to be a great time, going to be some great speakers, all day long speakers, talking about politics, talking about conservatism, and talking about it. It's going to actually be a four-county Tea Party meeting. There's going to be four different counties worth of tea parties down there. And we're going to have just a great time. And so that's kind of what's ahead of us. We are going to have also on this next Tuesday on Parental Sovereignty Radio, where Dan and I get together with Jennifer Montrose down in Alabama. We've got Michael Drakehorn, who's running for Senate. He's running for Congress. I should have opened up his page before I started this. You know how I am, Dan. I'm getting old and the memory's fading out. But we're going to have him on. He's a staunch opponent of Common Core. He has got running a great campaign, and we're excited to talk and get ready to talk to him and enjoy visiting with him. He's kind of a funny candidate because he messaged me a few months back, and I ended up in my other box on Facebook. Don't you hate that thing? I ended up in my other box. Great thing, it saves you from a lot of spam, but sometimes you get messages in there you need, so you should check that very often. But he wanted to make contact with me, and so I got back with him a few weeks back, and while I was in the background having conversation with him, Dan Wilson down there in Florida had found him also and was interacting with him, and we both had him talked into being on the show. I just don't think Michael realized it was the same show. So we were getting him from both sides, Dan, so we're looking forward to having him on. I've gotten to know him just a little bit over the last few weeks, and let me tell you, he's another one of those guys that you can have pretty much confidence in. When he gets to Washington, D.C., he's going to be the same man that he is that we know now. So we got a great week lined up. Tuesday, we've got the Parental Sovereignty Radio Show. on Saturday. We've got the Saturday Symposium with Dan Wilson and I, with Bob Struble coming up. And then, of course, Ladies Bible Class on Friday will still go on as normal. I'll be doing Ladies Bible Class at 12:30 on Friday here on Blog Talk Radio. We're marching through. We just ended King Ahab. Old King Ahab just died. And now the second, we walk into the book of 2 Kings, and, you know, it's kind of fascinating because the first Kings, the story is really about Ahab and his god Baal versus Elijah and the one true living God. And then 2 Kings starts out, Elijah passes the mantle on to Elisha, the prophet, and it's Elisha versus Ahab's descendants, Ahab's son and his daughter Atalia, who becomes queen. And so really, the period of the divided kingdom, a lot of it is about Ahab and Baal and his family. So we're getting ready to do that. I'll be doing Ladies Bible Class, and just about the time we're done, Michael Smith will be getting here, and I'll be getting in the car and going down to do some Texas politics, Dan. So you know I'll be flying high on Friday. And so that's kind of our introduction with what's going on. I'm going to pass it to Dan Wilson down in Florida for his opening remarks, and then we'll just start talking politics as we always do. This is Contending for Truth Radio. If you're listening and you want to call in and join the discussion, we encourage you to do so. The number is 347-205-9620. That's 347-205-9620. Feel free to call in and join the discussion at any time. Be sure to press 1 so that I know that you want to talk, as opposed to just calling in and listening to the show that way, because sometimes people just call in and listen to the show that way. So Dan Wilson, it's kind of overcast here. We had some thunder and lightning this week, but it's been nice and warm. How's it going down there in Florida?
Well, it's doing great down here. It's a little overcast right now, but it's supposed to burn off, and we've been having nice warm weather. It's a nice high-pressure system sitting right over Florida, so I'm a happy camper with temperatures in the mid-80s, so no complaints here. I heard that you guys had a few tornadoes over on your neck of the woods, which hope everybody came through okay. And other than that, been a quiet week over here, other than I made a post on the importance of voting and how we have to remember from our forefathers what they went through to make our nation happen. And we're starting to get some uprising from the Supreme Court, see if they can. I had posted something earlier in the week, and it was the Supreme Court suggesting removal of the First and Second Amendments. And I'm like, are you crazy? And there's another group claiming that they've abolished the Bill of Rights. And I'm like, for one thing, you know, you can't abolish the Bill of Rights. There's no court in this land that is high enough to override the Constitution, including the Supreme Court. And I wrote a piece down, and you would not believe people were, a couple of groups pulled that message off. And you can see that there's a group that's actually attempting to remove our Constitution. And it's, the Constitution is the backbone of our country. And it's, you remove the Constitution, you remove our rights, and we have nothing to stand on then. The only person who would invest, who would make out in such situations, the government. And I'll be damned if I'll ever allow that to happen. The Constitution, if Congress or the Supreme Court wants to try to abolish the Constitution, they better go through the constitutional system to do it. Meaning you have to have 3/4 of the 2/3 of the country agreeing to it. Then you have to have to go back to Congress. It has to be voted upon again, 75%, and then it has to go out to the people and be 75%. And unless they follow these rules, I'm not listening to what the Supreme Court says. This is a travesty. I mean, I can't believe that they would be trying this in this nation. You know, this nation, this Constitution has served us so very well over the past 250 years. And I'm not going to let it go because we have one president who seems like he enjoys a socialized nation better than he enjoys a democratic republic. And, you know, I'll never let it go to a socialized nation, no matter what it takes. I mean, we have to sit here, and when I started the piece out, the post out, was never forget. And what I was meaning by that is never forget the sacrifices our forefathers made. And I'm going to give each and every one of you a little lesson plan. Go to the Constitution, then go to the Bill of Rights, and start looking up the members who signed the Declaration of Independence. And then look at their status before they signed it and their status after. You'll see almost every one of them lost everything. And if these people were willing to lose everything they had for freedom and the sovereignty of a free nation, then I think we all need to put a little time in and research into finding the right candidates so we can make sure that we can protect the Constitution that they gave so much for. A lot of people really don't realize what it was that happened to create this nation. It wasn't like the signing of a document and everybody was copacetic and were happy and went off their merry ways. Many, many people died, and many more gave everything they had into creating this nation. And the least we can do is to return that favor by taking some time every 2 years and picking, you know, the correct candidates so we can make sure that we can defend our Constitution and make sure that we don't have to go through this crap again. This is a perfect example of what happens when you don't do your homework and you allow the Constitution and the electoral process go amok. Because we have nobody to blame but ourselves on this. And now we find ourselves fighting to keep our nation. And I really believe, you know, finally people are opening their eyes and they're seeing what has happened and they're starting to fight for it. You know, trying to fight back for our country. But we should have never been in this position in the first place. And what I'd like to also talk about today is how can we avoid being in this position again? And also, over the past week, I was talking about the Article 5 of the U.S. Constitution, and a lot of people thought Article 5 meant abolishing the Constitution, which is couldn't be farther from the truth. Article 5 was a way for us, we the people, to set things right when things ran amok. And that's where I would like to see us go, because we need to straighten out a lot of things. That we have a big mess here in Washington. We got a lot of things that need to be rectified. We need, you know, you take a look at our Supreme Court. They're trying to abolish, you know, and they were saying that they can't, but they were talking about abolishing the Bill of Rights. You know, our 10 most sacred amendments, and they're talking about trying to get rid of it. Now, something's wrong. I mean, when you're just talking about doing something like that, you know, our first 10 amendments, there's a reason they called it the Bill of Rights. And those are, for in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights is equivalent to the 10 Commandments. This is a basic foundation of our nation, what our nation was fought for, why our people came to this land, and why we created this nation for these specific 10 amendments. The right for free speech, freedom of assembly, freedom of religion, right to bear arms, right to right for a speedy trial. All these things, you know, right to remain silent, you know, the Fifth Amendment, right to have the government get a warrant without going through your home, illegal search and seizure. These are very, very important rights that we need to protect with everything we have, no matter what this government tries to do. And we need to, you know, stand up for these rights. Last year, a good friend of ours was posted up a sign saying impeach of Obama, and the police came by and took half of the group away in a paddy wagon. And they weren't doing anything wrong. And this happened right in Missouri, right dead center of our country. They ignored the Constitution and, you know, didn't even blink an eye about freedom of assembly. We don't have to have any type of you know, paths or anything to. We don't have to go to the city government and get a right to assemble. You know, this is our freedom, one of our very basic freedoms, and the government is taking these away. And it's time we stood up and said, you're going to do it. We have to stand up. Think, and as I said, what I want people to do is read about our forefathers, see what they sacrificed. Don't believe me. It's well documented of what these men gave up. These, you know, plantation owners who were very affluent, who gave it all, who ended up paupers. One of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, he came home. Both his sons had been killed in the Revolution. And he came home to find out that his wife 2 weeks before had died. A week later, he died of heartbreak. Five other signers of the Declaration actually died in the Revolutionary War. So, you know, there was so much given and so much fought for to give us what we have today. And I think we owe these people a little time to go in and to do the research necessary to make sure that you get a candidate in that you can trust and you can know they're going to do the job that you're hiring them to do. And if not, you're almost, you know, they were saying that the most sacred duty of each citizen of this country is voting. And we need to take it a lot more serious than we have been. And, you know, I'm as guilty as everyone else. I mean, I'm not sitting here preaching from the pulpit. I was lazy too. But my eyes were awakened about 8 years ago. And ever since, I've been very, very active in politics because, this is the nation I grew up in, the nation I love. And this is the nation I want to pass down to my children, grandchildren, and their grandchildren, and their grandchildren after that. I don't want my legacy being known as a legacy where we lost the nation. So it's time for all of us to get involved and do whatever is necessary. We'll try to do it through the constitutional system, but if we, you know, if the government picks up arms against us under the Second Amendment, we have to do the same thing to protect ourselves. You know, I'm praying to God this never happens, but, you know, take our country serious and be willing to give everything you have for it, if necessary. I prefer all of us keep our money and everything, but, you know something, if we need it to save this nation, then no sacrifice is too great. And with that, I'll pass it back. Those are my opening words, so I'll pass it back to you, Scott.
And excellent opening words they are, Dan, and because that's what it all comes down to is this Constitution and the rule of law. And The President of the United States has made it very blatant, and this is why I don't understand why we don't have more what you and I would both call John F. Kennedy Democrats out there. Because I know John F. Kennedy be rolling over in his grave if he had heard some of the things that this president has said. But he's got a blatant dislike for the Constitution. It's just something that gets in his way. And I don't understand the mentality of the United States of America, a lot of the people, who don't just see that instantly as a big deal. Because that Constitution was designed for one purpose, and that was to protect our freedoms. To protect our liberty. The founding fathers understood that when a federal government gets too much control, it gets out of line. It gets out of whack. And so that Constitution was designed to give specific jobs to the federal government and give everything else to the states. And that Constitution protects us in many different ways. It protects a lot of our rights. It keeps things separate that need to be separated. It helps to separate our checks and balances. And it is what has made this a great country that we live in even today. Even with some of the insanity that we're dealing with, it's still a great country because we've got these basic principles that we all rely on. The freedom of speech, the very basic freedom of speech. The left doesn't like the freedom of speech. They want to be able to say whatever they want, but they don't want a conservative to be able to say whatever he wants. They don't want the Christian to be able to say whatever he wants. That's going right back to Nazi Germany. You know, Dan, we spent the week, we spent the week looking at World War II in homeschool this week. We watched some movies. We watched Patton, one of my all-time favorite movies. Love that guy. You know, he's so gruff, so tough. But at the same time, taking his finger and running it across the head of a dead soldier, kissing the forehead of a dead soldier, soft on the inside as well. But we learned a lot from that. We watched Empire of the Sun. Christian Bale is a young boy living in that portion of Shanghai, China, that was protected when the Japanese invaded China. They just kind of left it alone. It was kind of a no-man's zone. The Empire of the Sun takes place. When Japan bombs Pearl Harbor, they decide they're going to invade the rest of Shanghai, China as well. And Christian Bale ends up in a camp, separated from his parents for 3 years. Great movie to watch. We watched another really a heart-tearing story, The Boy in the Striped Pajamas, about a little Jewish boy living right next to German boy living right next to a concentration camp, and his dad is a mucky muck in there. And the little boy, at the end of the movie, ends up climbing underneath the fence and getting gassed. Incredible stories, incredible movies to really show the feeling of World War II. But the reason I bring that up is because, you know, as we were watching that, and we were watching the men all over this world trying to fight for freedoms, because there wasn't a freedom of speech in many places. Adolf Hitler and Benito Mussolini, they didn't want freedom of speech. They wanted to tear everything down and tear everything apart. And so, folks, that's why we do what we do. That is why we do what we do. And so we've got this situation going on here in Texas that I want to tell you about, Dan. And it's a constitutional problem. And I mentioned a while ago, Michael Sullivan. He's Empower Texas. And I've learned in the last 3 months of being here in Texas that we've got a Texas Ethics Commission, the TEC. And I've learned that we need an Ethics Commission to watch our Ethics Commission. Because our Ethics Commission, Texas Ethics Commission, is not paying attention to the Constitution. They are absolutely just a rogue agency, and I think this is going to be taken care of here pretty soon because the Texans are getting pretty mad about this. Texas has an agency that is, I'm going to read this, Texas has an agency that is acting outside and above the law. what, how far do we do? How far do we go? What I want to know is how do we replace a rogue group like this with one that's honest? Now, one of the leaders of this Texas Ethics Commission, the director, actually uttered the words this week, the constitutional issues don't matter. Now, Dan, you and I believe that's abhorrent. And Michael Quinn Sullivan's involved. Texas, Empower Texas is involved. And I'm going to be looking into it more. We're going to have Michael Sullivan on. We're going to have Tony McDermott on. We're going to discuss this at a future point. We're going to have them on to kind of explain what's going on here. But they are basically trying to do what the IRS has been doing from the federal government down to some of our more important groups here in Texas. And when there's a lack of respect, an entire lack of respect for the Constitution, what do we do? When nobody wants to uphold it, what do? Well, at that point, we go back to the point before we had a constitution. We go back to that point where we don't have those protections, because if that document becomes meaningless, then we have no protections. The federal government can do whatever it wants, and we will end up in a state like Germany ended up. We will end up like North Korea. We will end up like Italy under Mussolini. We will end up like Japan wanted to do to China. We will end up like China is now. You know, basically, many places all over the world, the government's really basically in charge, and they tell you what to do and how to do it and how to think. We left, folks. We got on that boat in 1620, and we came across that Atlantic Ocean a long ways in diverse circumstances because that old king over there wanted to tell people how to think and how to worship. Do we really want to go back there, folks? That Constitution is a very, very valuable document. And we've got a very huge lack of respect for it in this country. And that's being taught in the schools. That's been being taught in the schools for decades. Now we've got Common Core that wants to basically institutionalize that. If you don't believe that, just you look up some of these Common Core problems and curriculums that totally degrade what the Constitution says. Our Common Core curriculum about the Second Amendment that basically says that the government gives you the right to own a weapon if you don't meet certain requirements. Not what it says, folks. The freedom of speech. Do you really want to be able to be thrown in jail for something that you said? Do you really want to have no control over what your children learn at school? You know, this last week down in, I believe it was in Florida, I saw an article, Dan, where a few weeks back, a little girl sat down at lunch to pray over her food. And the teacher walked up to her and told her, "You can't do that here." Now, it was not very long before that was rectified, very seriously rectified. But they're going to keep trying that, folks, and Common Core is designed to institutionalize that. All goes back to sovereignty, and that Constitution is what guarantees your personal sovereignty. That Constitution is what guarantees your parental sovereignty. That Constitution is what guarantees your local sovereignty and protects it from a federal sovereignty, or even worse, a global sovereignty. A global sovereignty. With that, Dan, I'm going to pass it back to you.
Oh, I agree. I mean, it's right now the United Nations is trying to tell us about our Second Amendment, about our right to bear arms. And it's, you know, our right to bear arms is one of our basic laws, And, you know, it's our basic amendment. It's our Second Amendment. And people don't understand why we even have that amendment. And that amendment's not to allow us to go hunting or anything like that. You know, that's part of it, but that's actually a very minimal part about it. It's our Second Amendment is the right to protect our freedom as a state, county, or what to whatever level you want. That is tells us that nobody can take our basic freedoms away. And this is the Second Amendment is that assurance. If we have to, we can bear arms and protect ourselves, our property, and where we live. That's what the Second Amendment is all about. And the federal government likes to change that around and make it into something it's not. So they tell us that we have to get a special, permit so we can own a gun. We have to have a background check. We have to go through 3 separate background checks when we own a gun. We have to go for 1 just to buy the gun. We have to go to a second one if we are going to carry and conceal. And we're going to go, we have to go for a third one if you wish to own an automatic weapon. Where in the Second Amendment does it say this? I mean, the Second Amendment is pretty straightforward. I mean, and what people don't understand is the government does not have the authority nor the right to require us to own or, you know, take any test or exams or anything like that. If you want that involved in our Constitution, then change the amendment. See, what people don't understand is you can't add things to our amendments. Just go in and say, well, I think I'll add this to it, saying that, you know, you have to have you have to take a test or you have to have whatever. Our constitutional system is very, very, very straightforward. It says these are our amendments. You can have the ability to change them, but what you need to do is you need to go through the steps. The proper steps. And the steps are not easy, and they made them that way. But, you know, the Second Amendment alone, it says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. And what they're saying there is that every state has the right to protect itself. And the federal government doesn't seem to understand that. You know, we're having some problems in Arizona about putting up a nice barrier between them and Mexico. And Texas is also having this little problem. And the federal government's trying to jump into this, where they have no constitutional right to do so. And right there in the first few words of the Constitution, it says that we have the right to protect our state in whatever way we deem necessary. You know, the right, and then it goes on and says, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. This is not meaning that, well, you can own a shotgun, or you can own this, or you can own that, but you can't own this, this, and this. If you want to turn around and change the Constitution, be my guest. Go through the constitutional process, and if three-quarters of the nation agree with you, then it becomes a new amendment, and a new amendment's passed, and everything's copacetic. But don't you dare try to get around it, like this president is trying to do, like the Supreme Court is trying to do. And what our congressmen are too lazy to protect. I mean, this is the Congress from hell, as far as I'm concerned. They've been, you know, our president's been in office violating every part, piece after piece of the Constitution. And what is our Congress done? Nothing. And, you know, I'm starting to push to get involved in Florida politics. And at first my congressman was willing to talk to me until I questioned Extortion 17. And I haven't heard a word of from since. I even requested a meeting with him. Never got a call back. You know, and this is, and I'll go out and tell his name right in front of everybody. His name is Gus Bilirakis. And he has not, he's totally ignored me. And I'm one of his constituents. I'm one of the people who voted for him because people said he was good. And ever since I questioned him, because his whole platform is how he helps the veterans, yet he voted to cut their rights. He went right against what he had gone around saying that he would never do. And I called him on this. And he is so angry that he refuses to even talk to me now. And you know something, if you're going to have a congressman who refuses to talk to his constituents just because they don't like what they're hearing, then it's time to get a new congressman. Our nation was designed and built so that we should talk to our congressmen, our legislators, and say, we don't like this. And it's not their job to like what we say or whatever. Or don't say, but it is their obligation to follow through with what we don't like. The majority of the people turn up and say, this is wrong, then it is their obligation, their oath that they took was to take our word to the federal government and stand up for it. Whether or not they liked it or not, has nothing to do with it. Not everything, I mean, I'm not saying I have to like everything my congressman says. And I'm not saying that, you know, if I'm a part of the minority, I'll accept that. You know, I can hear, you know, I wouldn't have minded saying, hearing my congressman giving me a call and saying, Dan, geez, you know, most of the other people don't agree with you, so I have to take their end. That'd be cool. But to turn around and tell me that you're going to stand up for veterans and then you're going to cut what they earn, then you're just a double talker to me. And if you're too pompous not to give me a call back, then you're a congressman I don't want. And I'm doing my best to try to find a replacement for him. But my health kind of limits my ability to move around. But we need to find somebody who is going to stand up for the rights of the people of his district. And, you know, just took a friend and made me an enemy, so he's not going to like how I'm going to support the other person if I can find somebody. You know, he could have had a lot of support on this end, but he blew it. You know, and you were speaking earlier about California. Well, California, you and I were like, we were like the black ducks amongst a bunch of white ducks. A lot of Californians are liberals. And what they'll do is they'll do everything they can to block you. And make the state entirely blue. Although there are a fair amount of Republicans there, the blue is so active that they'll go out of their way to stop and prevent, you know, the red from communicating together. I was lucky as my friend was news director at a place called DRG, Desert Radio Group, and he was news director, and he personally introduced me to Mary Bono. So when she went into Congress, I supported her and was able to be part of the conservative team on, you know, from there. But other than that, I mean, the Democrats want to do everything they can to prevent us from communicating. Even it drives me crazy. And then, you know, I was looking at what I was paying for electricity and what I was paying for water and everything else and gasoline, and I'm sitting there going, you either got to be a millionaire or out of your head to put up with how much extra we had to pay as Californians just to live there. And it is a beautiful state, don't get me wrong, but, you know, for my living expenses were cut in half when I moved here to Florida. And Florida, the problem is we have so many snowbirds, we don't have enough people here to form alliances. And I don't know how to change that or, you know, make it so we can make communities so we can get together. But I'm working on a way, and hopefully we can find the answer to that. Even though many of these people are snowbirds and here only half of the year. I'm going to be starting in a month, so I'll get the year-rounders. And then I'll work out from there, and, you know, maybe we can get some of the snowbirds that are registered to vote down here, you know, to start getting involved so we don't run into the same problem. But we have some good candidates coming up here in Florida that really are giving me some hope, and especially, you know, we got a couple in the south and a couple up north that are coming around that look like they're true conservatives, and it looks like we might have a chance of really making this a solid red state. Soon we get rid of the Wicked Witch of the South, we'll be all set. You know, that's when we have to win over Miami area. But we'll be fighting all the way, and we'll be doing everything we can to turn this entire state red, because that's what the majority of the people feel in this state, at least in the central part. I can say that, you know, we're a real conservative group of people. The only place we have liberals are in Miami, Lauderdale, and Key West. Actually, even the Central Keys are conservative. So most of our state and up right along the border. But I think we can change them all over to conservatives. And I think we have a real, real good chance, especially after what this administration has done. And with that, I'll pass it back to you, Scott.
Now, you were talking about something, and I was a little bit confused, so I'm going to ask for some clarification.
Sure.
You were talking about this state. And I've got a vague picture of it in my mind, but California, is that a state? I vaguely remember that place. I vaguely remember that place.
I know, with the red writing on the top of the license plate. I'm not sure.
That's right. That's the one.
I'm not sure if it's a state or It's almost like its own country, and you know, I just couldn't believe. I mean, I loved living there. It was beautiful. You know, you're not going to find a more beautiful place to live. But when it comes to politics, it's living hell.
Very, very true. And it is a beautiful place to live. You know, you can. You can be in, from most parts of California, now if you go to drive from north to south, it's quite a bit of a drive. But in most parts of California, you can be within a couple of hours up in the high country of the Sierra Nevadas camping, and then over to the beach. And it's got its big cities, it's got its little towns, it's got, California's got a little bit of everything. Of course, California's got Hollywood. That's a lot of fun. I love to go to L.A., and I love to go down Santa Monica Boulevard and go down Sunset Strip. And I love to go down and walk the Hollywood Walk of Fame. I love doing all the tourist things there. I love to go to Yosemite. Pismo Beach, and boy, you can't find the finest seafood anywhere else in Pismo Beach and Morro Bay. Some of the best little restaurants with the food coming right off of the ocean. But I'll tell you, you're right, Dan. The politics in California stink. The economy is really, really bad. It's been that way for a long time. You know, when Ronald Reagan was the governor, he turned around and handed $5 billion back. $5 billion
mm-hmm.
back. He straightened out that economy. And since then, they've torn it all apart again. The cost of living there is incredibly high. We didn't drop by half, but we dropped by about 25% just in cost of living moving down here to Texas. And then, of course, with a raise of about 15%, it's made a very big difference in the standard of living here. But I don't ever plan on going back to California. I'm very, very happy here in Texas. Having a great time. And you know, Dan, you made some really important points. And we're talking about, you know, going forward in this country. And we talk about a few things a lot on this show. How do we get to where we need to be? And you talked about some things in the grassroots and some things, you know, we got to get Washington, D.C. to listen. But another thing we've got to do is we've got to really work hard on getting good candidates elected. And I've got some great candidates, of course. We've already talked about a few of them here in Texas. You've got some great candidates down there in Florida this year. You know, there's this one guy down there, I'll tell you, he's in Palm Beach, Nick Wookison, I believe is how it's pronounced. And I'm going to tell you, this guy's great, Dan. I'm not quite sure. I think I told you about him.
Right.
He really is, number one, he's hard on the Common Core. He is ready to rock on Common Core. He's constitutional. He believes firmly in the Constitution and in protecting our freedoms.
Right.
He is just a man who also knows how to message. If you go to his Facebook page, Nick Wookison, I think it's called the Nick Wookison Campaign, and you can find all kinds of really good information there about what he's running for, what he believes. And he really wants to take and fix things, fix some of the corruption, fix some of the parts of our government that are broken. He wants to restore accountability is a big thing with him. And good-looking man. Looks like he's got everything it takes to win. And like I say, he's down there in Palm Beach. So we're going to continue to talk about him and some of these other candidates. And, you know, it's not just the candidates for these congressional races. It's not just these candidates for the senator races. Man, it's your local races, too. If listeners, let me tell you need to find out who's running for your school boards. And you need to investigate them, and you need to give huge support to the ones that are fighting for your parental rights. And you need to make sure you do everything you can to defeat those that want to give the schools and the state and the federal government more control over how you raise your own children. Now, I would say 30 years ago, that wouldn't have even been an issue. I think if they tried to do Common Core 30 years ago, there would have been an uprising like insanity. But today, there's just not a lot of people really paying attention. And over the last 30, 40 years, the left has worked really, really hard to get into our schools and to get into the educational system so that they can continue to teach your kids what they want, not just reading and writing and arithmetic and history and geography and these things that are important subjects. They want to teach them social issues. They want to teach them that a certain social way of life is okay, even if your mom and dad say that it's not. So get in there and find out. You know, Dan, I know I did this for years. I knew exactly who I was voting for president. I knew who my congressman was, and I knew who I was voting for on that ticket. Sometimes I really didn't even know there was a time when I really didn't pay even a lot of attention to the primaries. I've always voted, but I was never really active as an activist until Herman Cain. But then you go down to some of those other little boxes on the ballot. Most of my life I've pretty much known the way I was going to vote on the propositions that came up on a ballot or a ballot issue. I knew how I felt about those. But then you get down to the list of, like, the guy running for the hospital board, or the guy running for the superintendent, or the guy running for this judgeship, or this guy running for this certain commissioner. And we really don't know those names, but those names are just as important as well. Eric Adams, we talked, I was on Michael's show last Sunday on Conservative Nation Radio, the Michael Berryman show. And like he said, these places are the farm for our bigger government. A lot of the people that go on to the larger Congress, or go on to the Senate, or even the White House, started in these local races. Know who your agricultural commissioner is, because I'm going to tell you, that's the guy fighting the EPA, folks. I'll tell you, I've always said we need to have Herman Cain as the head of the EPA. That would fix a lot of things. The EPA is trying to take your rights away right and left in the name of climate change, which, folks, if you don't realize it doesn't exist, 17 years now, we haven't not only had no warming, it has actually been cooling a little bit for the last 17 years. Global climate change is why they call it climate change now instead of global warming. Remember, about a decade ago, it was all about global warming. Al Gore said we were just going to heat up to the point where the oceans were going to dry up. He said that the ice caps were going to all melt and the oceans were going to flood. That's the way it went. Folks, it hasn't warmed in 17 years, and actually it's going the other way. So they're in fits, but they're still trying to use that to promote social justice and to redistribute the wealth. And that starts with your EPA. Know what's going on in your agricultural races. Your agricultural commissioner, Sid Miller here in Texas, boy, I give him a lot of support because he's a good man. He's an honest man. He's a man with integrity. He's a statesman. He's going to do what's right, whether it's politically convenient or not. And he's a solid conservative. There's all kinds of commissioners races, supervisors races. Again, we're going to mention Dave Souza up in El Dorado County. Let me tell you, a small supervisors race in a small county, not a real small county, but a medium-sized county up in Central California. Important. It's important, folks, to get a good man like Dave Souza in that race. And we just don't pay a lot of attention to that. Then the other side of it, of course, is you've got to get out and talk to your friends and your neighbors. Folks, we see people all the time, especially in the climate we're in, all of a sudden figuring out that they weren't as liberal as they thought they were. We really should have a huge movement of people from the Democratic Party saying, wait a minute, this is not what we signed up for. Because the leadership of the left, the leadership in the Democratic Party, is taking this thing off the cliff. They're running it straight into socialism. Now, I said when Barack Obama was first elected, I made a prediction, and I was half right, and I was half wrong. I said he was either going to do one of two things. He was either going to get smart and move to the middle and kind of run like Bill Clinton did, or he was going to run all the way to the far left and give a big old run and jump and just see how much far he could take it, and then he'd only be a four-term president, a four-year president. I was wrong about the four-year president. I think they cheated the living daylights out of this thing to make sure that he was elected again. We found out some voting results here in North Carolina this last week that were 32,000 bad votes, folks, illegal votes, wrong votes, cheating, folks. They did that. And now that he's got a second term, he's continuing running. He's going to put this thing as far to the left as he can get away with. And once he does, we have to turn around and take it back. It's not a very, very good situation. So we got to get out there, and the only reason they get away with it is because many, many people in our country, They don't know what's really going on. Mm-hmm. They're not paying attention to current events. They're not paying attention. They couldn't tell you some of these things that are going on that you and I discuss, Dan, each week, a couple of times a week on Blog Talk Radio and on and social media, back and forth. A lot we talk about these things. We've got to wake up America. We got to get good candidates. We also got to support some of these groups, these conservative groups that are really, really helping. Mentioned Empower Texans a while ago with Michael Quinn Sullivan. There are some groups out there, folks. Give them your money. Send them your money. Another good one is, boy, our congressman just to the east of me, Lee Gohmert. Great man, a good solid conservative. There's no primarying Louie Gohmert over in that district over there. He's got the GOPAC, G-O-H PAC. Look it up on the internet, folks. Give him some money. He's putting together the grassroots and trying to really, really help swing the elections this year and get some more better conservatives that are in the race. Get some better conservatives that are winning so that we can go back and protect our freedoms. And that's what it's all about. You know, Dan, we've had different times in history, and we haven't yet talked a whole lot about history in this show yet, so I want to kind of swing us there a little bit. But we've got different times in history where we have seen a cause and effect. Cause and effect. We watched Benjamin Franklin. We've talked about this. Benjamin Franklin, when he was over in England at the beginning of his life, at the beginning of his time over there, was really a God save the king, cheers to the king kind of guy. He was a firm believer in the British Empire. He was a firm believer in what the king was doing over there and what the British were doing over there. He loved America, but he was pretty much in support. But then we had some things come along, like the Tax Act and different things that the British started to do to try and gain control of America and our 13 little, what was developing into our 13 little colonies. And taxation without representation, of course, was one way of just stating all of it. And as time went on and as Benjamin Franklin started to watch the results of what was going on, he started to watch the lack of respect that he was getting as somebody who had accomplished something but didn't fit into the social ladder over there. He pretty soon went from God save the king to, hey, France, will you help me fight this war with the British? And, you know, that's a big turn. We watched a time in we got the Roaring Twenties, and the Roaring Twenties was the time when our country was pretty spoiled for the most part. A lot of people pretty spoiled, had a lot of things going on in our country. Then we had the stock market crash of 1929. It took us quite a time to get over that. But you know, when we got onto the other side of that, we had a bunch of people that weren't spoiled anymore. Cause and effect. And they raised their kids different. That generation raised their kids with an understanding of, you know, you can have a lot of nice things and they can be gone real quick in a heartbeat. In fact, we still have some people living in this earth right now, living in this country right now, who went through the Great Depression, and they remember those times. And they are cautious. They're a lot more cautious. But so cause and effect. We remember one of the causes that the effect came from was Jimmy Carter gave us Ronald Reagan. I'm always thankful. I've always been thankful to Jimmy Carter for that. Yeah, Jimmy Carter was an honest man. I will give him that. And I believe he was a good man. I think he's gone nuts over the last 12 years. I think they're either he's either got Alzheimer's and they're controlling his message, or he's just flapped out flipped because he's not so honest anymore. He's not intellectually honest anyways, let's put it that way. But he was just not good at administrating the United States of America, and he put us into a pretty big mess. By the time he was done, we had hostages in Iran. Our foreign policy was falling apart. We had gas lines in our country because we had crisis going on. Our economy was through the tubes. We had a situation where there were so many things that were wrong with our country. But with the result of that was we got Ronald Reagan out of that. We've got cause and effect throughout history. And I believe, Dan, that we're going to have a cause and effect this time. I'm watching the economy of our country still continue to go down. I see them lying continually. I saw that unemployment is sitting at 6.7. How that ever happened, I don't know. I know how, because they're messing up with the numbers. So we got that going on. We've got our freedoms being stepped on all the time with NSA and the IRS, those kinds of things going on. We got Common Core going on in Obamacare. Our health system is falling apart daily with Obamacare, and nobody's getting coverage. You know, all of those people that are out there, nobody's getting coverage. And, you know, it went from 5 million sign-ups to 7 million sign-ups really, really quickly. What we found out this last week, because the Health and Human Services was automatically starting people on the sign-up process without their knowledge, signing them up for health care under Obamacare, and then turning around and sending them a letter saying, we started the process for you, so they can include those numbers. Lots of lying, lots of deception going on. And, you know, we sit in and I looked at World War II this week. We looked at it a lot. We looked at Adolf Hitler, and we looked at Germany, and we looked at Italy and Japan, and we looked at the horrific things that went on. And we know that there was a time after that that we watched this world turn around and go, we need to turn a different direction. And we watched Germany go in a different direction. We watched Japan go in a different direction out of that. We watched Italy go in a different direction out of that. And so there's been many times in history where we've seen this concept of cause and effect. And I believe we're about ready to swing the pendulum the other direction. Because, you know, folks, when you pull the pendulum further and further and further, the thing is when you let it go, the further back it swings, and it goes the other direction. So I'm confident, Dan, that when this pendulum gets released, and I believe that it's about ready to really release this November, unless they just totally have enough control to totally cheat their way out of it. That's the only worry I have about Texas turning blue. Is the amount of cheating with an ends justifies the means mentality on behalf of the people that are in the Democratic Party. They don't mind cheating. They don't care if they get there. They don't care if they have to cheat in order to get there. I do worry about that. But I really do. I think this cause and effect is about ready to send us into another period of time where we could have a president of the United States that stands up for business. Stands up and fixes that tax code to where we're like Ronald Reagan did a lot of fixing of that tax code, and it gave us some peacetime prosperity that lasted two decades, and I think we can go there again. And Dan, I'm going to pass it back to you.
I agree. What we're going through is, and from an economic perspective, it's always like a sine wave. You have a high, you have a low, it goes up, and then it goes down, then it goes up. And what happens is that as we get stronger and more comfortable, we get lazy. And as we get lazy, things start going amok. And then what we have are what, in economic terms, we call them corrections. And we're in a correction right now that if you had left the economy alone, we would have been back up and back on a positive climb. But just like in 1929, the federal government stepped in. And as soon as the government steps in, you change the rule of economics. And you create false areas. And that's why you did not see the economy improve in the 20s until the beginning of World War II. Because we had a government that believed in deficit spending through the New Deal and the WPA, and what they were doing is digging themselves a hole. As they were digging themselves a hole, they were increasing inflation. And it got to a point where farmers no longer were making money. The price of food was through the ceiling. And people really couldn't afford to live. On top of it, because we did not know proper ways of tending to our farmland, we had the Great Dust Bowls. So we had a couple things going on with us back in the 20s and 30s. But the main reason the economy stayed so bad for so long was the federal government stepped in. And the reason the economy is so bad today is because the federal government has stepped in. Except for this federal government never had any intention of putting people back to work. The intention has been to drive the economy right into the ground. And he's doing a pretty darn good job at it. Because he has taken, through the EPA, he's created standards on production of coal that are so stringent. There are technologies that we don't even have in existence today. His attacks on the oil companies and saying how much money they're making. When if you look at their what they're posting on the stock market, they're making that much money. Yet he turned around and boasted to the people how much oil we're producing. And what he failed to tell everybody is this was oil produced on private land, not on public. He says he's for the pipeline, but he's still fighting against it. This man is a liar from front to back. And that's why our economy is the way it is. You know, what he did to the coal industry is he essentially bankrupt West Virginia and a good part of Kentucky, part of Ohio, and Tennessee as well. And the only state in that region that came through is Georgia. Because it's only a very, very small percentage of Georgia that's into coal mining. The rest of the state, they're like Texas. They're rapidly growing in technology and giving companies nice economic breaks. And Texas and Georgia, like Texas, is one of the top growing states because they're doing things right. They have, you know, Republican governors who are really steering their states in the right direction. And it's what's happening, I think, is little by little, those moderate Democrats are looking, going, well, what's happening to our state that's going down the tubes? And why is this state recovering? And they're starting to question, and that's good. Because the more they ask, the more they question, the more the answers are going to be revealed. And that's a big, big thing. It's when I write my post, I try to write them, in the same way. Is trying to explain something and then to give the answer or the solution. Because this is the whole thing, is that people, a lot of people just don't understand the solution. And the solution is simple. Is let the economy do what it does. You regulate it in that you look for people who are cheating. And you take the people who are doing the Ponzi schemes like Madoff and people who are lying on their taxes, and you attack those people. But, for instance, bailing out GM was one of the stupidest things we could have done. One of the great things about the economy is kind of like the environment. You let the wheat die or get killed off so that it overall makes the herd stronger. If you allowed GM to die, which it should have, overall, our economy would have came out better. General Motors was so poorly managed, and was the unions really had overtaken the corporation, and it got to a point where it needed to die. And now we're sitting here finding all these things that they knew of, ignition switches going and killed, all these people. And it was all because of poor management. And then the president of the United States comes by and said, I'm going to give you X amount of millions of dollars to keep yourself above the water. And now they're having congressional hearings over it. I mean, I used to love General Motors, don't get me wrong. I had my brother had his Chevy Camaro, and I loved the GMC pickups and a lot of things. But frankly, they took a very good company and they drove it into the ground. And they should have gotten what they deserved. And now we're stuck with a company that the people owns that we don't want, because they're just a, we're never going to get our return on investment with them. So it's better off pulling the plug and letting them sink. And I hate to say it that way, but that's, that's a fact. And, another fallacy that drives me crazy is that the Democrats say how the Republicans run all, run big government, and they want that, they run the banks and everything. The biggest investor in the Obama campaign was J.P. Morgan. They're the ones who actually run Wall Street, not us Republicans. We're for the free enterprise system. The Democrats are for the crooks. And I hate to say it that way. I mean, I don't like to point fingers in any specific direction. But facts are facts. And my problem with the Republicans right now is they're acting like a bunch of scared little puppy dogs who are afraid to stand up against a mean leader. And they need to stand up and say enough is enough. And that's why I want the Republican Party removed. And as you were saying, you know, in Texas, you're having somebody who is corrupt, who's running a department. Well, that's what Article 5 in the U.S. Constitution was designed for, is to take corrupt departments and fix them and allow the government, you know, the people to get involved and get rid of these damn, you know, these idiots. And that's why I'm so very much involved in the Article 5 movement. Because what we can do is we can change the EPA. We can change the IRS. We can eliminate a lot of the departments that are unnecessary. And we can bring this, you know, people say it's so difficult to cut our deficit. No, it isn't. You sit down and you look through. You can go through number of departments, and you can cut 50% of the departments and turn around, have our government being half the size, meaning our overhead would drop dramatically by billions, I mean tens of billions, and our taxes would drop. We'd increase productivity on both manufacturing and just corporate world in general. And we could actually pay off our debt in under 20 years if we are willing to take the steps necessary. There are so much money being wasted in Washington. You know, take Congress. Person serves one term, 4 years. He gets full benefits for life. And he gets to pay, full pay, for life. That's a crock of baloney. You know, that alone, you know, needs to go out the door. Because, I mean, why should we be feeding somebody who hasn't done anything? You know, their benefit packages should be more aligned with the free enterprise system. I mean, it's real simple. You know, have a regular 401 like the rest of us. Get the normal retirement package, a nice handshake, and say, see ya. That's what the rest of us deal with. What makes them better than us? You know, they have to come down, and if they're going to pass Obamacare and stand behind it, by God, then they should live on it just like we're being forced to. And not given some special program that's, you know, fantastic while the rest of us are suffering and dying. We got some work to do with the federal government. An Article 5 movement, although it would be difficult to pass, it would be a wonderful thing for us to do It does not abolish the Constitution. It just allows us to clean up a big mess. And that's what we have today, and that's what we need to do. It's time to clean up the mess, get rid of the riffraff, get rid of the dead wood, get rid of the pork, and we can find ourselves recovering a lot quicker, you know, and stop going around saying it's all the fault of Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, because that's a downright lie. Take away the pork, then all of a sudden you'll start seeing the truth coming out. You turn around with bills, and you say it has to be able to be read and understood by an eighth grader. Then all of a sudden you'd stop seeing the loopholes that they get away with. They write these bills intentionally, very convoluted, so they create areas that can be exploited. And if you keep the bills short and sweet so an eighth grader could understand it, they don't have that ability. And these are just a few things we need to sit down and change. And we need to have a committee from all the states to sit down there and, you know, almost like a constitutional Congress to fix all the things we've messed up and then put in laws and amendments to prevent this from happening again. Because this is wrong. This has cost us billions of dollars. And everything's running amok. And nobody knows what to do. And there are things we can do. We just have to really look back at what our forefathers created, and they have the answers. And, you know, you were saying about history. And, you know something, I love Benjamin Franklin's address to Congress when he said that before each session, we should get down on our knees and have a member of the clergy, and we'll have it changed every, session will be a different member from a different clergy, and sit down there and pray to God, because we now more than ever, we're showing that we need him in our lives and in our nation more than ever. And Benjamin Franklin put it really, really very eloquently when he says, have we grown so good that we no longer need the guidance of our Father? Are we that great now? Or should we admit that we are not? And if I had the ability, I would make a few changes to bring it up to date. But I would address Congress and say the exact same thing. Because now more than ever, we need God to help guide us out of this mess. And it's something we have forgotten as a nation. And if you look at how we have deteriorated, it's really when we began to take God out of the nation, out of the center of this nation, is when this country started going down. And, you know, the when we talk about, you know, John F. Kennedy and the Kennedy movement, well, Kennedy was, as you know, basically, today he'd be considered a conservative. But one word from his, you know, one line from his inaugural address, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country, is the framework of how this nation should be run, not the other way around. And with you, with that, I'll pass it back over to you, Scott.
Well, and again, so true, Dan, so true. And we're coming up towards the top of the hour. It's that part of the day where we always hate. That's where we start to say goodbye. We have so much fun, Dan. You know, I each week I sit down sometimes in the evening and think about how my week went. And one of those things that I sit down is I think about the shows that we've done over the week and how those things went and how we can improve them and who we can get on next. And I remember a show here about getting close to about a year ago, I guess, that we did on Common Core, and we were talking a lot about Jared Markham at the time, who got arrested because he wore a shirt to school that had an NRA on it and wouldn't take it off. And Jennifer Montrose brought a guy on as a guest named Dan Wilson down in Florida. And I immediately, after that show, thought, wow, here's somebody that can be a partner in this. And you've been a part of this ever since. And I appreciate that. Because I think we have a good time every Saturday. Every once in a while we miss one. Something's going on. But each week you and I get the opportunity to converse with each other through this blog talk show over twice a week. And then, of course, we communicate a lot during the week. And we have a good time doing this. And so it's always kind of a little bit of a sad note when we get to the top of the second hour and it's time to hang up the phone and go relax a little bit. But appreciate everything you say, Dan. You've got some great knowledge. Got some great knowledge from you this last week about General Patton. I asked you to type some of that stuff out, and you gave me more than enough to go over with my niece, and we went over those things, and she appreciated that perspective and your perspective on things. So it's important, these things we talk about. And one of the most important things that you just talked about is prayer. And folks, we do. Our country is really lost a lot of prayer. Our government has lost a lot of prayer. Of course, Madeleine O'Hare, decades ago, worked really hard to push prayer entirely out of schools, which was a sad occasion. But we do. We need more prayer. We need more prayer out of our leaders. We need more prayer out of our people. So we want to encourage folks, pray for our country. Pray that we have good leaders. Pray that we continue to have the freedom that we have through the next generations. It's very, very important. We have some great things going on Blog Talk Radio, like we mentioned. We got some people coming up this next week as guests, both on Tuesday and on Saturday. Again, want to mention, don't forget, tomorrow on Conservative Nation Media, right here out of Tarrant County, Texas. That's over on the other side of Fort Worth. You see, Michael Smith, he holds down Blog Talk on the Fort Worth side, and I hold down Blog Talk on the Dallas side. And if you don't think there's a long ways between those two places, just drive them one of these days. There's a little bit of distance out there. But Michael and I tomorrow on the Michael Berryman Show are going to have the candidate fair, and we're going to be having some great guests on. Of course, Sid Miller and Connie Burton will be on there. And I'm looking very much forward to that. I've had Sid Miller on the show, and looking forward, we're gonna eventually have Connie Burton. She stays pretty busy. Very good, good people. Our State Senator Dan Patrick and State Senator Ken Patrick, or Ken Paxton, will be on the show, both running. These are all people that are getting ready to meet up with this primary challenge, this runoff. Here on May 28th, they passed the primary to appoint, and they've got a candidate they're running against. Wayne Christian, a guy that I'm looking forward to talking to. I've been looking into him. A great man, Dan, a real good man, what I would call a good man, and somebody I will probably be talking about a whole lot about here in the future. John Radcliffe, Eric Maroon, Bob Hall, Steve Toff, and then Michael Quinn Sullivan, who we were just talking about, Empower Texas, Empower Texans. Real good and active man, very productive. So I don't want to miss that. Tomorrow at 3 o'clock Texas time, that's 4 o'clock Florida time and 1 o'clock California time, you can find that. Just Google the Michael Berryman Show there on Facebook, or I will be soon posting that on Contending for Truth Radio on our Facebook page. You can find that, or go to conservativenationmedia.org. On the website, or you can just Google that, Conservative Nation Media, and it will come right on up. And be sure to listen to that tomorrow. Michael and I are going to be pushing those candidates through at about 15 minutes a whack. Dan, you know that's not going to be easy to get through all those candidates, especially Michael and I. We're like you, Dan. We like to talk, but we're going to try our hardest to give the candidates the bulk of the time. So we're going to be doing that next Saturday on Saturday Symposium with Dan Wilson. Dan's going to be holding down most of the fort. I'm going to be broadcasting from Corsicana, Texas, which is about an hour south of me, at this Tea Party, four-county Tea Party rally, the I Do Not Consent rally. Because we do not consent to a lot of the things that they're doing. We don't just consent to them taking away our Second Amendment rights or our First Amendment rights. We don't consent to them taxing the living daylights out of us. Going to be some great speakers for that. Be paying attention to the Contending for Truth Radio Facebook page, again, for information on that. If you are here in the Dallas area of Texas or in this immediate area, I would encourage you to go to the Facebook page. I Do Not Consent. You'll find that route. And join it and find the way to get there. Michael's going to come by and pick me up. Dan, he's got a pair of boots for me and a belt. And so I'm going to be starting to look a little bit like a Texan. I'm going to have to go out and find me a Stetson somewhere, and then the change will be made complete, the metamorphosis. You know, last week, Dan, I called in on Michael's show. He has this show every Sunday. And Michael and I chatted for a while, and we talked a little bit about our move to Texas here. And let me tell you, it has not taken me very long. I knew it was going to be this way before we ever got here, but it has not taken me very long to become a proud Texan. And I am honored to call myself a Texan, and I plan on dying here. It's a great place to live. So look up that rally. If you can go, folks, if you're listening and you're in this area and you can go, if you're not in the area and you can go, go. If you're independently wealthy and you're living in Maine, get on a plane and come on down and join us. It's going to be a great time. But we really want you to come. I'm getting some information on that rally. We've just added Jimmy Kerr as a new, just popped up, breaking news, as a speaker on that rally, so we're looking forward to that. So we got Tuesday night, we've got Parental Sovereignty Radio with me and Dan, along with Jennifer Montrose. Friday we got Ladies Bible Class continuing our walk. We've got some other things getting ready to go on. There's still something special coming for Monday. We're still in the plans for that, and we're looking forward to that. We're going to have a great time. Folks, support your candidates. This is all about grassroots. If you're listening to this broadcast, you most likely are active on social media. So find your good candidates, support them. Don't support them just because they're solid conservatives. You look past that, folks. You look past that. Because we've got a lot of people in Washington, D.C. that used to be solid conservatives. They used to be solid Republicans, but the money got to them. So you want to make sure that not only are they solid conservatives, but that you've got confidence that when they get to Washington, D.C., or they get to your state house, they are going to still stand by those principles and stand solid. Make sure they've got a solid core. Make sure, as Sid Miller would say, that they're a statesman, because that is important. And so with that, Dan, I'm going to pass it back to you for your closing remarks, and then we will let our wonderful Red Skelton close out the show.
Wonderful, and I agree. And as you said, people, we need more prayer in this country, and also take your time to know your legislators and the people you're voting for. This is very, very important. It's the only thing your country really asks of you, asks of each citizen, and that's to do your obligation or do your research and find the right people to support. And make sure, you know, just watch over the course of their tenure how well they do holding up what they said they were going to do. And, you know, just turn around and do what you can for your nation, for your town, for your state, to make it a little better. If we, each and every one of us, puts a little effort in, you wouldn't believe what we can accomplish. It's not rocket science. This is not something when we're voting for our legislators. It's not something that requires a attorney. Anybody can run for office, from a farmer to a ditch digger, anybody. And that's the way our Constitution was designed. These attorneys make it look like you have to have a JD to be in politics. But that's a fallacy, and there's been very, very, very good presidents we've had that were not lawyers. Look in history, and you'll see. So if you feel that you have a good word that you can put in to politics, and you're willing to go through the BS of the of the media, then run, because we need good people, and we need people from all walks of life. And I, as Scott said, I've, you know, God, it's been almost a year since I've been on this, working on this station. And Scott and I have become close friends, and as well as Jennifer. And we have a really good time together. And I hate to see the top of the hour coming already. Seems like we just got on, but it's the end of another show, and I'll see you all on Tuesday, and, you know, please join in for parental sovereignty, and don't let the name scare you away if you have no children, because it's a lot more than just parental issues. It has issues on everything. And please join us for that as well. And until next week, have a wonderful week, and God bless you all. And thanks for tuning in and listening to my show. Have a good week.
Exactly, Dan. We thank you, and I misspoke. I said Red Skelton, but I meant our D-Rock Country. We're going to put it out with D-Rock Country's Keep On Keeping On. That's what we do. Love this song. It's my favorite song that's ever been written. And it's good to know the writer, the singer, and the awesome patriot that D-Rock Country is. Go to drockcountry.com. Check out his music. He's got some incredible music. Patriot Girl is another great one. He's got some awesome music. It's all patriotic, and he's just a really, really good guy. Him and his main squeeze, Kim Paris, working hard to do their best in this fight to save our country. So D-Rock, keep on keeping on. Until next time, folks, this is Continuing for Truth Radio.
There will be days that just go wrong, make you wanna holler and shout and throw your hands up in the air, wondering what it's all about. When you think that things can't get much worse, in a second, oh, everything just goes south. Keep on keeping on, whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. Take it one day at a time. God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down inside. Road ain't long. Keep on keeping on. Stand in your way.
They're always saying
what you cannot do. Don't stop chasing your dreams and working hard to make them come true. Oh. And if it ever gets too tough, just remember. Don't kill you, make you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. Take it one day at a time. With God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down inside. The road ain't long. Keep on keeping on. Keeping on, whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be